Advisory.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Saney, Radio for the Imagination, is a weekly show spotlighting the arts. And now, your host, Paula Granquist.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thanks for tuning in and for waking up your imagination with us on Art Zany Radio. And today I'm going to open up with a song that you might remember, and it is something that I love this opening, and I think if you listen, you'll know it's because of this clarinet. And so I'm going to go ahead and play this Gershwin excerpt of Rhapsody in Blue. This is Leonard Bernstein playing. And here we go. Actually, that was the wrong one. I'm going to click on this one and play that one now. Well, it sounds like maybe we've got a couple of things going on. So, let's go back. I think that might have been the wrong one. Here we go. Okay, that is George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. That's Leonard Bernstein with the New York Philharmonic. That is from 1976, so that was a little while ago. And that is going to be part of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra concert this next weekend. And so that's part of the reason we're playing. We've got a big show on Art Zany Radio. We've got not only the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, but we're going to have guests from the Northfield Fine Arts Booster Club coming in to talk about their program and a fundraiser that they're doing in the very near future. So as I do like to remind you that one of the things that I love about doing the show is that I hope each week you remember that creativity matters for all and that it takes audiences and artists and everyone coming together to collaborate and make art, and that art is about what I've learned from the show is that the more you keep pursuing challenges, the better the art, and the luckier we are. So I hope that we can create an environment where everybody feels able to create those challenges and bring those to our beautiful community here. Folks, in my opening segment, we're going to have a conversation with Paul Nemistow and Don Dreyer Thibodeau. They're both from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, and their concert next weekend is called American Memories. It's featuring music of Copland, Gershwin, and Howard Hanson. You heard a little bit of that. I think that's what was playing in the underneath part in the opening. And Don Dreyer Thibodeau is going to be doing that piano piece in the Gershwin. So that's a very exciting piece. One, it's sure, you may have heard parts of it, but it's sure fun to hear the whole piece. And that concert is Saturday, October 27th at 7 at St. John's Hall in Northfield. And then again on Sunday, the 28th at St. Angsgar's. I always have trouble saying that one. Lutheran Church in Cannon Falls. Two beautiful locations. The Sunday concert is at 3 p.m. So you have an opportunity two times that weekend to see it. You can visit northfieldartsguild.org, click on music and CVRO to get all the details about getting your tickets. Paul Nemistow is the founder and conductor of the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. He's also a retired St. Olaf music professor. He directs the Finnish American Brass Ensemble Boys of America, and he founded and leads the Vintage Band Festival, and I think I've only begun to give a little bit of who he is. So he's going to be joining me for an interview we recorded earlier this week, as well as Dawn Dreyer Thibodeau. She is a graduate of St. Olaf, a flute player, a pianist, and she will be that featured soloist for the Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin. So here's our conversation on Art Zany Radio. Welcome to Art Zany Radio. I'm pleased to have you today here in the studio. I want to start maybe by asking both of you how you met. How did your paths cross?
This is Paul, and I knew Dawn just casually back when she was an undergraduate student at St. Olaf College when I was a professor there. She was a flute player in the St. Olaf Orchestra, and so she had some visibility within the department, because we knew her about her, and I probably may have said hello to her at that point. But that was sort of the end of it when she graduated, and I didn't even know where she went or what her fate was. But but then I don't know, must be half dozen years or so ago that she approached us at the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra about wanting to play. She lives in, I think it's Prior Lake, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Prior Lake is not a long haul from here, so she can make that commute pretty easily. And so she joined us and has been a stalwart ever since, and is actually on the CVRO Council right now, and is a real go-getter for the orchestra, and that's how it got going. And then as far as this concert is concerned, her primary instrument when she was at St. Olaf was piano. So
so both flute and piano. Wow, yeah. That's talent. That's impressive.
Yeah, and then I put out a call to the orchestra members just saying, is there anybody that sees themselves possibly as a soloist with the orchestra at some point in the future? This was a couple years ago. And Dawn approached, and then we decided that it might be fun to do the Rhapsody in Blue of George Gershwin, which is a one-movement work that many of you know and is quite a classic piece. So I thought about programming around that, and then just picking the right season and the right date and all that stuff was just a matter of formality. And so away we go.
What do you remember, Dawn, about Paul at St. Olaf, or your experiences in the music department at St. Olaf?
Yeah, I remember Paul was a fixture in the music department and taught brass, of course, and was a band conductor and well-liked. Everybody called him Nemo.
I didn't know that. That's a good insight.
Yes, that's his nickname.
And, of course, I embellished it by calling it Captain Nemo.
Captain Nemo, yes. Yeah, Paul is well-loved by the students at St. Olaf, and generations of students remember him well and fondly. So when I heard that he was spearheading the CVRO and conducting it, I was so excited. I thought, this is just a great opportunity if they have an available spot for me. So it all came together, and it's been a wonderful ride.
And have you primarily played the flute in the orchestra?
Yes, I played the flute, and have been, about 10 years with the orchestra.
That's phenomenal to me, transitioning from piano and flute. So how do you keep your practices up on two instruments?
Well, it's interesting. I've been really focused on the Rhapsody for about the last 6 months. when Paul was suggesting to the orchestra if anybody wanted to play, I took out my bucket list and at the top of the list said, play the piano with the orchestra in a concerto of some type. And I love Rhapsody in Blue. It's such a beautiful piece, and I thought the orchestra would love to play it too.
What does it evoke for you? What is it about that your connection to this particular piece?
Well, I love the jazz influences in it, and so that's a piece that I really love. I also love the sounds of the urban life in the song. You can hear traffic sounds, I think, horns, the hustle bustle of the city, and also different international feels, different, I would say even like Cuban music, you know, just different neighborhoods and so on in a big city and the music that you might experience there.
Yeah, it's a classic, and I have to say I'm pretty fond of the opening with the clarinet, which I hope I was able to play just a few minutes ago. Who will be playing the clarinet part on this piece for the orchestra this weekend, or next weekend?
Yeah. Kathy Zidlow, our principal clarinet, and she's been worrying this part for about 6 months now.
Yeah.
And she does a very fine job on it.
And that's
it's really good.
It's a lot of fun, but it's not easy, this particular part.
Well, it's a shtick. It's a technique. And when you learn how to do it, you can do it. It's as simple as that. Back a little bit to having Dawn be a part of the orchestra. It's a part of a little bit of a dream come true for me, is that Olaf produces a lot of musicians, or enhances them, I should say, so they can continue their career past high school and then they graduate. And then they go out into the community, and with any luck, they're going to continue to play. Maybe not necessarily professionally, or maybe not even teach music, but they're going to continue to play. And for us to have the likes of Don be interested in coming back after having that preparation and keep it as a lifelong passion, just satisfies the mission of the orchestra to the right. Right on the spot. It's exactly what we would want to be doing.
And did you imagine, or were you thinking when you graduated that you wanted to keep playing, and knew that maybe a community orchestra would be a part of your life?
Yeah, I think at that time I would have hoped to find just this niche for myself. What's so fun about the CVRO for me is that Paul chooses really challenging pieces, you know, really great repertoire. We're not playing, you know, amateur stuff. We're really pushing the envelope, and playing things that we are challenged by and really want to hear and really want to play. And that's really fun too. And also Paul knows so many people in the community that he can get soloists and dancers and musicians and artists from all the nooks and crannies of the world. It seems like they just come out of the woodwork for him. And that's been a really fun with the orchestra too.
That's true. Every season has its own flavor and really feels very well crafted and mm-hmm. you know, curated, I guess,
yes.
might be a good
I
word.
Agree.
I don't know if that's a music word to think about. Is there a word for when you put together a series or a concert or a feel to a piece,
I guess,
or a collection?
I guess just planning. But I guess the bottom line of this whole thing is that if I get bored, we're in trouble.
So you keep yourself challenged.
Well,
absolutely.
I'm not. I am. You know, enough of a altruist that I'm giving freely of my time for my colleagues, and I'm trying to develop something, a certain otherness to people around me. But yeah, I look after Paul too. Paul's got to be happy. He's got to be interested in what's going on.
Right, and we should mention to our listeners that for the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra, this is the first concert of the season. It is the American Memories Concert by the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra on the weekend of the 27th and 26th and 27th.
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday, 27th and 28th, sorry.
What does it say on that postcard?
It has the right date. It's
okay, good.
Me that read the wrong thing.
I just went into a cold sweat for a moment.
I got goofed up because we're a week ahead, and sometimes do it the night before the concert, and now we're doing it the week before.
Yeah, so. I am numerically challenged and easily could make that mistake.
And so if you are interested in learning more, you can visit the Northfield Arts Guild website, northfieldartsguild.org. Click on the music tab under Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra. And also, there's a special bonus if you're interested in season tickets. If you purchase that before the 27th of October, you can get one concert free. So all the details are on the website about that. This concert, the first one, is at St. John's Hall in Northfield on Saturday at 7. And then there's the Sunday afternoon concert in Cannon Falls at St. Ansgar's.
That's right, St. Ansgar's Lutheran Church.
Just really on, lovely.
Just on the way out of town after you pass the high school, or all the schools, I should say, on the left side, yeah.
So it's a great weekend for music, and you can go to one or both if you want. Something that I hope people put this on their list. It's really, I love going to the concerts. It really is a nice way to, you step away from the world, have a little music to ignite your imagination, kind of take yourself away. This piece in particular is, most people will have heard some of it, but maybe it's been a long time since they heard the entire piece performed. And so how is the orchestra finding playing something that's a little familiar, but, also something that maybe they haven't done for a while either?
Right. It's two different things to have heard a piece or even like a piece and to actually have played in that style, because it is a period piece in a sense. It's written in an era in which swing was just beginning to happen and ragtime was still in the popular mode, and this is the beginning of the era of the recording, and people were starting to hear things on radio and starting to buy 78s, and all this kind of stuff was just happening at that time. So it's all caught up in, as Don just described, the multifaceted aspect of the piece. It goes from chattering and bouncing around to being highly romantic and very silken. It does both things. It's a really a great piece.
That's a good description that I hadn't heard. Again, I forgot to mention the piece Rhapsody in Blue by Gershwin. And tell me about where you've come now that you've really gotten intimate with the piece, Don, in performing it and having your mind into the piece, and maybe a new way for you even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started practicing it and picking apart all the bits and pieces of it, and it's a challenging piece in that there's a lot of piano tricks for the pianist, and that's really fun. There's areas where the hands cross and play in that fashion, and there's all different kinds of flashy moments, I guess you could say, in the piano solo parts, which are challenging and look simple, but you start really kind of putting it together and getting the tempo up, and it's hard. So that's been really fun too. And so I've been practicing a lot. My family knows this piece by heart at this point. they sing along from beginning to end, so they know this piece too. But it's really been fun just getting it into my bones and trying to get the swing down and the jazz feel and just getting that more and more sort of just deepened bit by bit.
So tell me, Paul, that's an interesting idea, that feel that you mentioned, and the orchestra may be, you've done all types of music for orchestra, but how do you, teach people that, how to have that right, and then come together in the same way of approaching that feel of the music?
Well, I guess people, ask me, what do I do, what have I done in my life, and I guess the bottom line is that I'm a teacher. Mm. And so the challenge of trying to find ways to create the idea in the head of another person of what it is we're trying to get is the process, is what rehearsals are all about at this point. That's what we're trying to do. And it comes with, I don't know, I sing a lot of it to make it happen. And then we try different things and just say no, more, no, less, shorter, longer, or and so forth. And and we're still in that process. And we've got another 2 weeks to go. Is it? Well, about a week,
A week, actually.
Yeah. three more rehearsals. So that's how I count it. And so there's still work to do. We're not done yet. And it's going to come. One aspect of the piece is that he has chosen, in the way he composes it, to use the orchestra kind of episodically. They come in and do, you know, 100 bars or something, and then they kind of disappear, and then Don will take over. And there's quite extensive, a couple of extensive, what you would call cadenza episodes. And I guess they really are cadenzas in that they don't really present a melody in a complete manner. It's all doodling around on the melodic material and on the rhythmic material. So it really is a cadenza.
I guess I never knew the meaning of that word.
Yeah, it's a kind of a virtuosic show.
It is.
Orchestra gets out of the way. This goes back to Mozart and even earlier. And where the orchestra gets out of the way, and the soloist just kind of goes and shows her stuff.
So is that like in jazz when there's a section of improv?
Yes, exactly.
And someone just takes over, and then it just, you know.
But then the orchestra comes back in. It's a similar, except that often with the improv section in a jazz piece, there's still rhythm underneath from the piano, bass, and drums. But in this case, it's just piano.
And it's not probably improvised. It's very well documented what the notes are supposed to be.
But it's supposed to sound improvised.
That would be a trick.
It's a trick.
You mentioned that earlier, that there were a couple of tricks for the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And so how does this compare to other pieces that you've performed and other, you know, ways of expressing yourself at the piano?
Yeah, I would say this piece has to ripen in a certain way. It's got to have the passion and the swing, the jazz. It's got to kind of take root in you and to just really feel it, which Midwesterners, we don't really have that built into us. And so it's kind of a getting the feel and also listening to others, professional pianists play this and adopting some of those sounds and some of that feeling. And that's been helpful too.
Yeah, that would be great. Now that we have so much access to, you know, images of other performers and, you know, not just CDs or records, you can go watch what somebody's doing.
Yes, that's very helpful.
Yeah, and one of the challenges of doing live music these days is that there's an access to so much recorded music, and there's so many what you could consider models or paradigms of what the thing is supposed to sound like. For instance, one of my favorite recordings of this piece is Leonard Bernstein at the piano playing with the New York Philharmonic from the 90s, and it's, you know, it's wonderful, but we can't take that as say, well, that's where we're headed. In other words, this is us, this is our time, this is our space, and this is our hour of creativity, and we will make it the way we make it. And it's sort of like, so there's a little bit of trial by fire, shall we say, or in the crucible, where we're building it as we go, and we'll make decisions about style and interpretation and tempos and stuff that fit who we are and how we do it. And that's also part of the rehearsal process.
So that's probably why it sounds so good when you perform, because you're aware of that, and being the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra and not the Philharmonic.
Well, yeah, we are who we are, and we're very proud of it, mind you, but we are who we are.
And I've loved the concerts, and we should mention, too, that it's not just the Gershwin piece that will be played. That's just part of the concert. It is called American Memories, so there's additional music. We should talk a little bit about the other parts of the program.
We're going to do a little kickoff piece. It's very well known. It's a fiddler tune, actually. It's called Hoedown from Aaron Copland's ballet called Rodeo, or Rodeo. And it's just a couple minutes long, but it's a way to sort of open up the audience's ears before we get into the rest of the concert. And then we do the Rhapsody. And then after intermission, we're going to do Howard Hanson's Second Symphony.
Now, that's one I wasn't familiar with.
I think you may find when you hear the melodic material, it's kind of familiar. He came out of the same era as Gershwin, in a sense, and he was using the same materials. And there even are some, I don't know if I would call them quotations from Gershwin, perhaps, in terms of some rhythms. At least they're sound like Broadway rhythms, if they're not Gershwin rhythms. And it's beautiful, succulent melodies that are just, you know, it's called the Romantic Symphony for a reason. Howard Hanson had a friend who was, his name was Joseph Maddy, Joe Maddy. Maddie was is famous now in American music circles for having been the founder of the Interlochen Music Camp.
Oh, sure, very well known.
Yeah, in Michigan, and often Howard Hanson would come to Michigan in the summers to be a guest conductor and so forth, and their friendship came to the point where the theme of the Second Symphony is now the Interlochen theme, and they use it quite often for at the end of concerts as a way to get nostalgia tear jerking going on in the not only among the campers who are getting ready to leave to go home, but sometimes among the alumni in the audience and so forth. So that's when I first heard the piece when I was there, and so that's the part of the story. He taught at Eastman, and he was a very prolific composer, but also a very famous teacher. For instance, he was a teacher of Dominic Argento, who's a living composer here in Minneapolis, the composer laureate of Minnesota, I would say, is at least one of them. Stephen Paulus being the other one. However, Mr. Paulus is no longer with us.
That's a lot that I didn't know, and that's I love that about your folks should get to the concerts early because the program is worth reading. There's a lot of history and background. It kind of sets you up for what you're about to hear.
Yeah, I'm writing those program notes as we speak. Today I'm going to get on the notes.
Well, he doesn't have the computer in front of him. No. But this is going to be another great concert and a great season. This I think is it coming up on 40 years
next year
of the Cannon Valley. 40 years, folks.
Yeah, and it's 40 years for us, and it's 50 years for the Arts Guild.
60.
Or 60. Okay.
It's 60. Yeah.
So we're trying to do some things together next year.
I think it's going to be spectacular.
Yeah. We have a bit of planning to do yet, but there are some new composer commissions in the works, and we're going to. I often, during anniversary years, also bring up all of the other commissioned works that we've done in the past. We have a number of them
mm-hmm.
that need to be reintroduced to the audience as a part of our legacy.
What a terrific legacy. And, Don, for you, what keeps you coming back to the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra? And why do you want people to be part of the program or either in the audience or maybe there's some musicians listening who think, I could maybe do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I encourage people to come and try it out, to come and play and be listeners. We need listeners. We need players. Both are very, very important. And I would just say it's exciting to play in the orchestra because of all the variety. It's each concert is just so very different and unique and fresh and has something new to offer in it in terms of style or soloists or whatever. So that's been a lot of fun.
Well, it's been a pleasure to get to know you. I'm so excited. Thank you for joining me today. That was Don Dreher-Thibodeau, who will be playing the piano on the Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue, and Paul Nemestow, the one and only, one of our regular guests here supporting the arts in Northfield. I thank you so much for being here again.
Welcome to our concerts.
Folks, this is Art Zany Radio. We are going to switch gears now and tackle the upcoming fundraiser for the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters, and we're going to kick it off with a little bit of music. This is a completely different gear for you, but here we go. This is Tom Petty, and this is I Won't Back Down on Art Zany Radio.
Be
folks. That is Tom Petty, and that is I Won't Back Down. I thank you so much for listening. Doesn't that bring you back? I'm so excited about Tom Petty. I got a chance to browse through his library a little bit and see what was on, and it was amazing, the number of songs that I went, oh, yeah, I know that one. Oh, my goodness, that's a good one, too. How do I pick? What do I do? So that was a really fun thing, and it's all because of the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters, who are going to be having an upcoming event. We'll give you some of that information, but I want to introduce my guest in the studio. Joining me, Ray Coudray. Welcome to Art Saney Radio.
Good morning. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, you're involved in so much music in Northfield. I know that you teach math at the high school.
Yep.
That you are founder of the 411 Music Series.
With Dan Rusted, yeah.
Yeah, which is one of the most incredible things to come to Northfield.
We love doing it.
It's been phenomenal. And you're also probably in a number of bands, and I can't keep track of which everybody's involved.
Yeah, we've got Chris Asher too, and there's a lot of music going on, and it's just fun. Rock and Roll Revival is another piece that I get to be involved in, and that is far and away the most challenging and fun part, because you get to share that music with a lot of kids and then with the community at whole. So.
Right. That's, yeah, exactly. So there's always something going on with music here. And Chris Ash, welcome back to Art Saney Radio.
Thank you. Good to be back.
You're a musician as well. I remember you from Toaster Fork.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Who doesn't? Right.
That's right. It was huge. And you are a board member of the Northfield Fine Arts Organization.
Yeah, that's correct. I was asked to serve on the board beginning of summer. So it's been a short tenure for me into my 3-year stint, but really happy to be on the board and working to promote the arts here in Northfield.
Yeah, and is there a band you want to promote or music that you're doing in town?
I'll always promote music. Right, I do. So we have, I still am able in my spare time to play with a group of guys, some of the guys from Toaster Fork, and we formed a new band called No Time for Fame and are able to play here in town. We've played with on the same bill with Ray and his band, and it's a lot of fun. So, and being able then to be asked to join in and support Northfield Fine Arts through the Tom Petty event, it's been great.
Yeah, we should start maybe back. There are people listening who say, "Well, this Northfield Fine Arts Boosters, I don't know what that is."
Right.
We should give them a little introduction. It's a really, I wish when I was growing up there was an organization like this.
Right. Well, it's funny you mentioned growing up. So I was a band guy all through.
Yeah,
grade
I got my hand
right,
up too.
Yeah, right. I'm sure that makes three of us. And it was such a big part of my high school experience and post high school that to be able to see my kids. So I've got three kids in high school, and they're or three kids in school, two of them in high school, and they're all involved in some way, shape, or form. And to be able to serve on a board that provides funds to the public school teachers here in town is great.
Yeah, folks may think of sports boosters clubs. It's a parallel. Right. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, that. So I always, people ask about them, and this is my thing. It's like every town has a booster club, and it's always for sports. And we live in Northfield, and we're so steep in the fine arts that we have that same thing with arts. And it's a crazy, amazing opportunity for us. So we bring in all kinds of people. I know that my son plays in the jazz band, and they brought in a horn player last year, a saxophone player, who was a principal player with Prince. Like, he worked with Prince for his entire career. And the NFAB funded that opportunity for our students, and that was to the benefit of all the kids that were in the high school jazz bands, and then we all got to enjoy the production as well. The Roger Jenny Instruments for All program, which provides instruments for anybody who wants to play, which is, I mean, it's just mind-blowing what the NFAB does. Every opportunity I have, I try to get some fundraising opportunity for this group. I mentioned rock and roll because I wanted to tie it in. We do a production of our initial, dress rehearsal. We allow NFAB to sell $5 tickets to any music student in town and any family of that music student. And then all that money goes to NFAB. We're doing this Tom Petty tribute for the Fine Arts Boosters as well. It's a great, great program.
Right. And I think if you have attended any of the high school or middle school concerts, band, choir, orchestra, and you see a table of folks sitting in the cafeteria, right, as you're ready to enter the theater, and they've got information out there. That's us, right? That's the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters, and we end up raising money through a fall fund campaign, which is out right now. So if you are a member, you've received a letter recently that has some information on all the different things that the boosters have funded. Through Minnesota Give, online donations. We'll take donations that way as well, and through live events. So, again, sitting at the table, running concessions at Art a la Carte. Obviously, Rock and Roll Revival every other year is a huge fundraiser for us. So we're always looking for ways to raise funds and then give that back. I would like to say, too, that our job as a Fine Arts Boosters is to be a pass-through for money that we're given. So our goal is to reach zero, right, dollars by the end of the year, be able to make sure that the money that comes in is getting passed through and to the individuals that write grants to support and supplement the district money that they get for fine arts.
So, yeah, it makes all those extra things and all of those opportunities. And I think I love in the line in that letter you referenced that pursuing creativity has value, and it's for everyone.
Right.
And that you want to make those opportunities to everyone who is interested.
Right.
And I think it's a really important part of that school experience.
And this is so unique to Northfield. I'm sure that there are a few other schools that do it, but it's real. We're so lucky to have people like Chris step up and be on this board and help us provide opportunity for kids.
And so one thing that, and we mentioned the Tom Petty, we should start getting into that. That is October 27th from 7:30 to 10:30. It is at the Armory Square Event Center, which folks may not know that name because it's a new venue. It's attached to the Imminent Brewing downtown. And so folks can go and tell me how this Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers tribute concert started. I think there's kind of it's a really cool idea.
Well, June 3rd of 2017, I had the opportunity to go and see Tom Petty in his last show here in the cities. And every single person sang every single song. It was the most bizarre concert and wonderful concert I've ever been to. Because of that, it was just so special because of the love for that music. And then, of course, when he passed away, then automatically I thought, you know, everybody wanted to do that stuff. And then I've been trying to figure out with Chris, we've talked a few times when we've played or I've seen him play or he's seen me play, about doing something together. And then, lo and behold, we had set the date for tomorrow. We were going to do the date tomorrow because that's Tom's birthday. It also happens to be Derek Meyer's birthday from, Imminent Brewing. So that was our original thing, and then since it was MEA, we couldn't really do it. And then actually, Chris has a great concert he's going to tomorrow, so we moved it. We wanted him to be a part of it. I wanted him to be
right.
a part of
you
it.
You can blame Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. That sounds like a good concert too.
So we moved it to October 27th, and it didn't take us long to arrive at where we wanted to. How we wanted to structure as far as a fundraiser, that was always kind of part of the deal, was let's raise some funds. And he had just joined the board, right?
Yeah, well, Ray is being a little modest, too. So I will say I add a little more color to that. We were at a graduation party in May and grabbed food and sat down outside and said, oh, how are you doing? How are you doing? Sat down and started eating. And Ray had said, we should really get on this Tom Petty thing. I'm like, yeah, we should. And then Ray had said, and we should benefit the Fine Arts Boosters, and which was great. He didn't know that I was on the board. I had just been elected to the board, and so I'm like, Ray, that's
right.
A great idea.
I forgot about the fact that
new guy, right, coming onto the board.
Wow.
Yeah, right. So Ray, I appreciate I know the board appreciates it, all the work that you've done for Northfield as well.
And so I think that's something that's wonderful too, is that this, like you said, the music is something everybody will know.
Everyone.
And so it was surprising, I think. I didn't think I could name any songs by him, but every single one that I previewed and looked at was something I could sing to. I knew from a place I could imagine a dance or a concert or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way it'll be. We have 10 bands, and each of them is bringing their own musicians. You know, people like Chad Johnson from the 8th Street Band. They played the main event at DJ Days. We've got Chris's band, No Time for Fame, with Mike Meehan involved. Andy James is with Chad Johnson. We've got Rich Larson from Imminent. He's bringing a full band. We've got Lori Williams, who's a bandmate of mine, and she's bringing a band. I get to play with her, so that's pretty cool. Rob Ryden, Sam Ryden's going to be a part of it. You know they know some great musicians if you've ever heard them play. Andy Flory from Carleton College is bringing a group, including Daniel Grohl. Obviously, they're from the Counterfactuals, but they're bringing a separate band for this. We've got Wendy Smith coming. She's going to do a great song called Angel Dream Number 2. It's when you hear the title, you don't know it. When you hear the song, you'll be like, oh, I love that song. It's so good. It's a beautiful love song. And then I'm bringing my band, Fred the Bear, Kyle Eastman from the choir director here at the high school. He's going to join us for a song. Bo Whalen's going to join us for a song. It's just going to be a huge night of Northfield music. We invited every musician we could think of, and I know I forgot some, but we've invited a bunch. There were some that couldn't make it that aren't here, but we tried to just include everyone because literally every person I've ever met likes this music, and it's going to be a great night.
Yeah, and you're right. And that, what a lineup. I mean, my goodness. And what do people need? Do they need to get tickets ahead of time? How does that work?
No tickets ahead of time. It will be suggested cover at the door of $5, so we don't want to turn anyone away, but this is a fundraiser.
Can you give more?
Yeah, that was my question, too.
Well, of course you can give more.
Because what happens to all the funds that you raise?
Right, all the funds that we raise end up going to support things in the choir, like master classes, band summer lessons, speech workshops, guest coaches, theater lighting. We bought a sewing machine and a spotlight for the middle school. We're able to provide the funds for that. Studio arts, orchestra. All of those funds go into our general fund. So we have kind of the same year-over-year fundraising events. This is something brand new for us, so this is an entire different set or source of revenue for the Booster Club. So, yes, anything that you care to give or want to give or can give would be great. And there are some incentives.
Well, and there's 100% goes to the Fine Art Boosters.
Correct.
Every musician is donating their time. The folks at Armory Square are donating the space. John Reppy and Liz Robb, thank you very much to them. I mean, this is all going to the back to programming in our fine arts programs.
Yeah, and I think I got to have a sneak peek at that space when the Pines were here.
Oh yeah, that was a good show.
It was a great show, and they have really done a beautiful job with opening this what used to be the Armory into a great event space. And so it's going to be spectacular setup, great musicians. I mean, you can't ask for any more.
Yet another great space in Northfield to watch music, right?
Yeah. Right. Yep. And so that's an important thing too, and that is October 27th, 7:30 to 10:30. Doors open at 6:30, and as you mentioned, it's just a suggested donation, but feel free to be generous.
There's an incentive. Chris was going to talk about
that. Yeah, there is
that.
An incentive as well. So Rock and Roll Revival is always a hot ticket in
town.
And
this is one of these years,
this
right?
This is one of these years, that's right. So look at Ray. Look at how stressed he looks.
Probably already started, hasn't
it? Oh, it started a long time ago. The day after we finished.
The last one. It starts the new.
That's right. So two sets of tickets have been donated to the event, and we will be auctioning them off. I think it's one pair for opening night and one pair for closing night.
Yep.
And they're good seats is what I hear.
Yep, they'll be good seats, absolutely. Yep. Right.
And those are hard tickets to come by.
They are.
And
they are hard
tickets. Sell out very quickly.
Yep. And for $10, you will get a chance to get a ticket, and we'll raffle off at the end of the night two sets of tickets.
So several opportunities to reserve your space and put those dates on your calendar.
Exactly. Yep.
And what a phenomenal event. And, you know, I think that one thing about Northfield is you can't possibly go to every single thing that's happening every single night, right? And so I think it's so nice to support the fine arts boosters. It's a way of sort of having a ticket to an event and, you know, passing along and covering more ground than you possibly could on your own.
That's a great perspective, actually. I didn't think of that, but that is a good idea.
Yeah, because and so many of these kids are doing so many creative things, and the teachers want to be able to do more, but it's hard to fit that within budgets and to have the opportunity to have somebody say, hey, we can help you out.
Right, and I had not appreciated the level of talent and professionalism at the high school until I had a son who finally went to high school and then started going to, who got involved in choir and theater and started going to the choir events and watching Kyle Eastman transform those kids into doing things that are just amazing. And the theater club, so I know... I'll put a plug in for Our Town, which is coming up in early November.
They'll be on the show next week.
They will.
So
great.
We'll be able to talk about that in more detail.
Yeah, and the first time I had seen one of the high school plays, I was just completely awestruck at the talent and skill and professionalism and just amazing performance and production that I had seen there.
And
if you haven't gone to a play at the high school, you should go to a play.
It's so much more than a high school play. It's just bizarre.
Well, I think maybe sometimes living in a community, you don't get to see yourselves and know what the difference between what you're doing and what, you know, what else is in the world.
Right.
And Northfield has, I mean, so much talent when it comes to and people who want to draw that out of students and you know, bring that to and give them opportunities that they might not have elsewhere.
And students that I mean, these kids are playing and spending hours and hours of their own time to pull these performances off,
right.
And it's because of the, you know, you bring in a guy who played with Prince for 20 some years and you put him in with your jazz band, those kids get something out of that beyond the experience of being around someone who's good. I mean, it's a whole level of opportunity that the NFAB or the Fine Arts Boosters provide. So I'm so happy to be a part of this particular event and to have something to support our students like NFAB.
It is the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters. It's an extraordinary organization, and they help students in all levels of our schools,
that's
what
right.
I understand.
Yep. We, from the elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, all the public schools here in the Northfield School District benefit.
And that's pretty phenomenal that your dollars can go and they'll sort through. And like I love what you said when your goal is zero balance at the end of the year.
That's right.
So that we can support and fund as many possibilities. And so you probably work really closely with the teachers in helping them to imagine what might be possible let them dream a little bit.
That's right. And also be able to go out and market to the teachers saying, hey, here we are. We have money for you. Right. Here's the process to apply for the grant. And it will come do a review and whatever what you need, you should ask for because it's here and you have people in the community who care enough to give.
What's the best way for people to find out more about the NFAB?
Sure. You can check us out on Facebook. So you look up the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters on Facebook. You can also contact someone from the board through email at the address of Northfield FAB at gmail.com, and someone will get in touch with you. I do want to give a shout out to Amy Allen, too, who's our president, does an excellent job of keeping everyone together, and also just the board itself, people donating their time and their talents to run the books and run marketing and run planning, right, and organizing. So a big thanks to all those folks as well.
Right. It takes a community from all levels, and I think that we have a pretty extraordinary community, and this is one great way. I mean, imagine being able to celebrate with all that great music, those musicians, and it all goes to help the schools and the arts programs.
Arts, giving back to arts, it's really pretty good experience.
It's special, and I'm so excited that we got to promote this on the air, tell people about it.
Yes,
and
thank you.
You're welcome. I want to thank Ray Coudray and Chris Ash for being with me today to support the Northfield Fine Arts Boosters and the Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers tribute concert, October 27th, which is a
Saturday.
Saturday night. I think we didn't mention that, from 7:30 to 10:30.
All right. Thanks for having us on. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Much appreciated.
Hope to see everybody there. It's going to be an extraordinary evening. So, folks, there's so much happening in our community. I just love being able to present these stories to you and to share all of this, these great happenings. I want to make sure that you take time to add some art zany to your life. And I hope that in the meantime, until next time, you'll enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Listen for Art Zany every Friday and Saturday at 9 a.m. right here on 1080 and on our website, kymnradio.net.
Welcome home to Northfield Manor. On the campus of Northfield Retirement Community, Northfield Manor is proud to offer HUD Section 8 subsidized equal opportunity housing for adults 62 and older. Take advantage of all amenities on campus, including our state-of-the-art theater, Imelda's Marketplace, Fitness Center, Main Street Cafe, walking trails, and more. Call today, 507-650-7332. Northfield Retirement Community. Innovation, choice, tradition.
If you have a busy household, then you need the strength and durability of carpeting from Mohawk with SmartStrand. Lynn's Carpet and Flooring in Farmington is your place to find this one-of-a-kind product from Mohawk. Right now, you can save even more on the colors and styles they have in stock. Smart Strand from Mohawk is the toughest, easiest to clean carpet on the market today. It features lasting performance with built-in stain and soil resistance. Make sure to make your next carpet decision the best it can be with Smart Strand from Mohawk, from Lynn's Carpet and Flooring in Farmington.